So I am humbled. Don't know where this message is going to go now. I can just tell you that right now. I wasn't sure to begin with, but I'm not sure now. But I think we have a awesome worship leader who puts together the songs for the right day. When I came through the doors, there are two things, if you've been in ministry, and you don't even have to be in ministry, because I'm sure you are observant to it as well. You either have your down Sunday or your up Sunday. It's about how you can put it. People can come in because they've had a horrible week, and they're just like, how you doing? Okay. Oh, I'm going through this. And then you can come into worship service, and people are exuberant, okay? So I went out to the truck, met Betty, Carol, and they were excited, and you just know there is something exciting going to happen in service. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's how I felt this morning. And then as the worship progressed, it's like, do we really have to preach? At least for me. And I thank you guys for that worship time, because that was just amazing, amazing worship. And thank you. I just had to need a couple minutes from that last song, because you can tell I'm a little teary-eyed. I love that song. Sweet Hour of Prayer, and what God can do for us. And so we'll get started. I'll have prayer in a little bit for the message. But, you know, the church celebrates 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, which is known as Advent. Our pastor gave us sort of the similar explanation or definition of what Advent is last Sunday. But this definition says this. It is a season observed in many churches as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration. Let me go back there because I missed it. I want you to catch two things. Observed in many churches as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the nativity of Jesus at Christmas and the return of Jesus at the second coming. And we focus on several things leading up to celebrating his birth. That they are? Sure you do. Hope, joy, peace, and love. I mean, there are other ones. They can use other words. But basically, that's what we celebrate when we do the Advent candles. Hope, joy, peace, love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know you're here. We thank you. We thank you that you are God. We thank you that you have everything under control. We may not think it, we may not sometimes believe it, but when we hear of what you're doing in the lives of those that are sick, in the lives of those that are struggling, in the lives of those that need you, we know that you are God. We ask this morning you open your word, we open up this message that you've given to us, and we just ask, dear Lord, that we hear you, we see you, not me. And may you be glorified, may you be honored, and may you challenge our hearts. And then as you challenge us, may we decide what we will do with what you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So let me give you Dean and Ethel Brungart's Christmas. That's my mom and dad. To set up where we're going here this morning. So it was always my understanding as a child to get to bed early on Christmas Eve. Okay, I didn't like when we had things going on in the family because I wanted to get to bed early because I believed, and my siblings believed, Christmas came earlier. Makes sense, right? You go to bed, you wake up. If you wait till night, you're still waiting and wondering what's going to happen, and you're anticipating it. So I always felt, go to bed early. Then Christmas morning will get there quicker. All right? So Christmas morning would come, and I'm not really sure. I was trying to go back. I know one of us would hear Mom and Dad up in the morning, and then we would get the rest of us up. We were not allowed to come down the steps. Not until we were told to. We had to stay there, okay? So from the upstairs to the downstairs, the steps came down, but there was a wall that came down so far, and then there was a banister, okay? So we would get up, and you would hear dad getting his tea in the morning, his breakfast, and he would just draw it out forever. Mom tinkering around with packages or whatever. And so when we knew they both were in the kitchen, here's what we'd do. One of us, it'd be like, Fred, Arlene, you do it. Because we knew the potential getting in trouble was high. It was a high risk, okay? But one of us would sneak down the wall, make sure nobody was at the tree, and peek around the corner. And then you would get this, oh, my word, okay? And I got to tell you, it wasn't oh, my word, most of our Christmases. I don't know how Mom and Dad did it. I really, to this day, we often talk about it. I don't know how they did it. They gave us great Christmases. There would be packages under the trees, and it would just be amazing. And so then we would sing. That was what we had to do. We'd sing Christmas carols. So we'd stand at the top of the steps and we'd sing Christmas carols and Christmas carols and Christmas. Mom loved that, right, moms? She would love that. And pretty soon they'd say, all right, you guys can come down now. And down the steps we'd come and then we would have our Christmas. And what a great Christmas it would be. But one of the things about it is the expectation of what was going to happen. Okay, we already knew Mom lost a present. Okay, that's a given. Okay, because you'd open up your gifts, you didn't know who it was going to be. Mom goes, no, wait a minute, there's a gift missing. Okay, now because we don't have Christmases at Mom and Dad's place anymore, that was still a given. Okay, when we still went to Mom and Dad's, it doesn't matter. Mom would be like, wait a minute, you're supposed to have another, where did I put it? And sometimes she'd find it a week later or whatever. She forgot where she put it. But it was a special gift she'd hidden. So those were givens. But that expectation of what was going to happen. In Isaiah chapter 7, I have two portions of scripture that I'm going to be reading. First one is out of Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And then out of Isaiah 9, verse 6 and 7. This is what it says. Verse 13 says, then Isaiah said, hear now, O house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of men. Will you try the patience of God also? Listen to this. This is a promise. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And we will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, this is what we read. All the people will know it. I got the wrong verse here. Yes, 6 and 7. Here we go. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign in David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. When we begin to read in Isaiah, which was long before the Christ child was born, it is the foretold message that the Redeemer was coming. And from this time on, they began to wonder and with anticipation about this Christ child. But the amazing thing about it was they were told what would happen, but they missed it. They missed it, okay? For the most part, the Jewish nation missed what Isaiah had said. A child will be born of a virgin. Okay, he will be called the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He will be called the Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What does Advent mean to you? As Christians, it should be a time of expectant waiting. And we'll get to the preparation in a little bit. Expectation. Now, we get all excited about Christmas. Kids usually love to get Christmas because what am I going to get for Christmas? All right? And sometimes as adults, we're hoping for something as well, okay? My wife said, what do you want for Christmas? I said, I don't care. I really don't care, okay? She surprised me on a couple occasions. She's already got her Christmas gift. She'll get a couple other things, but she wanted something and it had to do with flying, and normally it's a $600, $800 value, which is not going to happen, okay? Something miraculous is going to have to happen. She found one for $100-some. I said, get it now. That's your Christmas gift. We're sort of anxious of what Austin's going to do because he's already getting that whole atmosphere. I think it's just going to be an awesome time of watching him this Christmas. But as Christians, it should be a time of expectant. It should be a time of sharing or showing love, joy, and peace, and hope. But this should not be an isolated event. Okay? You and I, as Christians, how should we treat Advent? What should Advent mean to us? Well, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are waiting not just for Christmas because Christmas has happened, correct? Christmas has already happened. The Christ child is born. So you and I are waiting for the second coming. Now, if this sounds like the pastor's message, I'm only piggybacking off it because when he asked me to preach 2 weeks ago, this is what the message came to me. And then he started preaching online. And then as I started putting it together, I'm like, oh, this is going to follow right through if you paid attention last week. Coincidence. There's never coincidence. It's God ordained. Expecting. What should you and I as Christians be doing? We should be expecting him on his second coming, right? Do you believe that God is coming again? Do you believe that it could be today? We need to live our lives as though Isaiah has just told us he's coming again. Don't get ahead of yourself, Fred. We need to be as though, or live as though, we expect him to come in the next minute, in the next second. Okay? Living our lives. And I want to say this because sometimes I think we as Christians, we live like, feel like we're going to live forever. And that we'll see the second coming, maybe. If that's the case. But the reason I say we need to live it for every second is because you sitting in a seat may not be here in the next second. We do not know when our second coming's coming. Okay? It may not be that we see be called home in a cloud. It may be that we fall over and are dead. That's reality. We need to be in a heart or have a heart of waiting or expectation that he could come at any minute. As children, we are expectantly filled with wonderment about what we would receive on Christmas morning. Oh, I can remember those days. What am I getting? There are things that we'd ask mom and dad for. And I cannot believe mom and dad left us do this when we were little, but it was encouraged, meant from them, was that we wrote letters to Santa. When we were very little. We did. I don't even know if they do that anymore. And you put it in a mailbox. It went to Lock Haven or someplace. I don't know where it went, but you put it in a mailbox, and it disappeared. And you put on there what you wanted. But I truly believe that even though we celebrated Christmas in that way, as part of the Brungard family, you knew that Santa wasn't real. Although, one year, when Fred peeked around the corner, I went, you guys got to come down. And guess who was at the Christmas tree? Dad dressed up as Santa. I think he did it to mess with our minds because he knew we were sneaking down them steps. He knew it, and so they got a Santa suit, and he waited until he heard the creaking of coming down the steps, and then he's standing there, and then he bent over. I can still see it, and that's all the kids, we sneak down the steps, and all four of us are looking around. Santa. You know? And we had this fake little fireplace, you know, out of cardboard that had this little log thing that had a light in it. Rolled around. You remember those things? And we thought Santa came down that chimney. I kid you not. We were expectant and we were excited about that. And most children are excited about what are they going to get for Christmas? Christians, what are you going to get for Christmas? What is in your heart that wants or desires from God? Do you want to go home? Are you looking for home? See, we get too caught up in Christmas. I think of our Christmases today, and I hear people saying, oh, man, I'm just dreading Christmas. Wrong. And I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty. Oh, I got to hang the lights. Got to put the tree up. Austin and I drug the tree up the other day. It's got all this sparkly stuff on it, right? She bought a new tree last year, all this sparkly stuff. It's all over the house, okay? He's sparkling. I'm sparkling. The floor's sparkling. It sparkles everywhere, you know? Does it look great? Of course it does. I'm like, we've got to take this tree up, Austin. And sometimes it becomes a drudgery, but it shouldn't be. We should be expecting, looking forward to this day. Because that's when he was born. That's when he was born. That's when the realization one day when we were born in Christ that he is our Lord and Savior. We should be living our lives as though Christ is coming again, and he's coming today. Not 10 years down the road, not in the future, but live it today. I was thinking this past week of my life as I was figuring this message out, and I was thinking about how I live my life. And am I expecting every day? Because life takes over, sicknesses, work-related things. There are things going on at my work right now I'm not real happy about. I don't know what's going on. It's things behind my back pertaining to me. And it becomes very discerning. My wife's like, what's going on now? You don't want to know. Yes, I do. I told her something the other day. She said, I don't understand this. I said, I don't either. I don't either. But I'm just going to continue to do my job. I don't know what the plans are. I don't know why they're doing this, but we'll find out. Expectation. We get all bent out of shape about wrapping the presents, about making sure a person gets this. You know what we all need is love. Love. And if there's nothing else you can ask for Christmas, ask God for more love in your heart and your life for those who are trying to do you wrong. Love for more of your family. Love for more of the things in life that mean something to us. You know? We should live a life of expectation. What are you expecting God to do for you? What are you expecting or waiting for God to do for you? Healing? We have so many in our congregation that's going through so much stuff, you know? And I was thinking the other day, you know, we have some blessed people. I'm not going to go in there. Awesome people that are going through some horrible things. But you know what? This is not our home. This is not our home. We lose loved ones. We don't want to think about it. We lose people that are dear to us. We don't want to think about it. But you know, as Christians, the greatest thing, hang on, don't throw the book at me. Please don't. The greatest thing for us as Christians is when we get that call to come home. This world is not our world. This home is not our home. It is where we are to live our lives as Christ wants us to live, so that those that do not know him come to a realization of who he is. Our home is heaven. You know, I think when we're younger, we just don't get that. We don't. I mean, as Christians. But as we get older, we start to realize, you know, heaven's a better place. Heaven's going to be a place where there's no sickness, no heartache, no burdens. I love that this morning. Can you imagine her first Christmas? In heaven. What a time that will be. This is not our home. This is not where we finish. This is not where our expectations should be. We can get excited at Christmas, yes, and we should get excited at Christmas. We're celebrating our Lord and Savior's birthday, not a gift. Under a tree. Although I think that's part of the whole plan. The realization that he came as a gift, he came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We need to remember that. But our expectation at this Christmas should be on, when is he coming again? So what are you expecting? What do you want God to do for you this Christmas? What in your life and in your heart or do you want him to do specifically for you? And do you believe God could do it? See, I do not believe God works on the basis of us saying, Lord, heal me. Lord, help this issue in my life to be resolved, and then don't believe it'll ever happen. Mm-mm. He wants us as Christians to believe in our heart with our whole heart that this is going to happen and live our lives accordingly. And let him direct, not us direct. The second part of this Christmas is our preparation. If we're expecting him on a second coming, how are we prepared? Tell you another little story about Christmas. I'm in college, first year in college. We are called Dorm 4. There was a battle between the dorms, just the way it is. We had a jock dorm. So that's where all the guys that played sports went to, okay? So I played sports, but I got assigned to dorm four, okay? So there was always this battle between dorm four and dorm one. Who was better? Okay, and it was a friendly thing. It was a great thing. And they wanted to bring me over to their dorm, and I'm like, nah, I'm fine here. We had some good friends. So they were the, what were they called? I don't even remember. So we had to come up with a name for us. So we were dorm four. I think it was exceptional. We actually got into this thing, who was better, that we made a sign up one night, the four of us. There was more in our dorm, but the four of us on the second floor was all close together out of the five of us. So we made this sign and took it out on Route 78, which 78 used to be go right through Allentown down by the airport. Now it cuts off and goes another way. And we hung it on the United Wesleyan sign. No, I'm sorry, Ultimate Dorm 4. I had that up until a few years ago. I don't know where it went to. Ultimate Dorm 4, and we took a picture of all sitting there. It caused a little problem with the college. But we had this, shall you say, not confrontation, but who was the best? So it came Christmas, first Christmas. So I think it was the girls' dorm decided that we were going to have a dorm decorating contest. Okay? We weren't going to participate. We thought it was dumb, stupid. We weren't going to do it. So get this. The next day is the day of the of when they're going to judge the decoration. Well, we're sitting around. It's midnight. And we're like, we've got to decorate. We've got to do something. We have got to win this. Okay? So what do? We start brainstorming. Hey, there's a box up in the attic. I wonder what's in that box, because there was a pair of skis up there. So we opened up this hatch. We got up in there. What do you think was in that box? All kinds of Christmas decorations. How ironic is that? So here we are, midnight at night. We need a tree. Where are we going to get a tree? Okay? It's college, remember. Okay, so don't hold it against me. It's college. They were clearing property to put a strip mall in, a little mall. And I remembered, because I delivered bedding, I remembered that they had started taking out these shrubs. Now, they're the tall shrubs. You know what I'm talking about? That go way up. I said, I know where we can get a tree. I said, I think they took a couple down today. We'll cut one and we'll bring it up. So there we go. It's late at night. We go, we cut this tree, cut the top of it. We bring it up. We put it in. How are we going to put it? We stuck it in a boot. We stuck it in a boot, found some rocks to hold it up and put that thing on there, decorated. We decorated the whole dorm. We got the guys downstairs involved. We decorated the whole thing. So it's like 3 a.m, something like that, 4 a.m. Look, guys, here's what we got to do. We got to sync music, okay? You've got to play this music with ours. So when they walk in, they have Christmas music going through the whole place in stereo. Now, we won. Believe it or not, we won because it was great. We had platters. We had a guy who worked in the cafeteria. He said, tomorrow I'll get cookies. We had plates of cookies. We had it. It was great. It was great. We won. That's not how we prepare for his second coming. Okay. But that's how people live their lives sometimes. We live it to the last minute and say, that's when I'll do it. That's when I'll get ready. You may not have that time. Our preparation begins, if it hasn't already, right here today. We need to prepare our hearts, our minds daily for him to come. For him to come. Now, I know there were a few people this morning that prepared their hearts when they came in worship. Because why? Because you could feel the Spirit. okay? Now, maybe you all did. That's the way it should be. But we need to prepare our hearts. Our hearts, our spirits, and our attitudes must be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Listen to that again. Our hearts, our spirits, and our attitudes must be preparing for the coming of the Lord. Advent is a great time to prepare, to rejuvenate love, joy, peace, and hope in our lives. Hope that He's coming. Hope that I am part of that. How do you think God looks at Bah Humbug Spirit? Remember I talked about expectation and how we go, oh, Christmas, Christmas. I got a guy at work. I just can't stand Christmas. I just can't wait till we get through this holiday. And I'm thinking, and you have no idea what Christmas is about. Yes, sometimes it can become a burden, if you will. Sometimes it can become a humbug spirit. But I hope that after today, when you get that humbug spirit, oh my goodness, here we go again, you'll think of this. How does God think or react to a humbug spirit? Bah humbug. I said it backwards, didn't I? Humbug. A bah humbug spirit. I don't believe God likes it. Really don't. I think He wants a spirit of joy. He wants a spirit of expectation. He wants a spirit of preparation for Christmas. Not only to celebrate the birth of Christ, but to celebrate what is going to happen in my life tomorrow or down the road when He says, come home. The season of Christmas should be about joy. It should be about love. It should be about, Lord, help me to have more joy, more peace, more love than I've ever experienced in my life. Why should we have a spirit of expectation? That's a good question. Why should we prepare? I'm going to read a story to you right before I close here this morning. This is a story not about really Christmas, although it has very strong implications. It comes out of Matthew 25. This is what it says. At the time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long way in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Sir, sir, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Why should we be waiting with expectation? Why should we be prepared? Because there's going to be many on that last day. Lord, take me home. I'm here. Christians are gone. But I did everything right. But you weren't prepared. You didn't live it as God wanted to. These 10 virgins here, because of what they did, they missed the wedding banquet. I want to end this on a high note, not a bad note. The high note is this. God has a place at His banquet table for each one of us here this morning. Have we prepared to go into that banquet hall? Have we prepared our lives in such a way that we believe if He comes right now, I'm ready? And if not, I'm going to live each day, each moment of my life as though he's coming at the next moment. Am I prepared to meet him on that last Christmas, if you will, when he comes in all his glory? Are you living a life of expectancy? Are you looking for his return? Are you peeking around the corner to see, is he coming? What signs is he showing me today that he's right at the door as we would go down to make sure that we were good kids? You know? Are we looking in our lives? Are we putting a retrospect in there? Was I good? Was I naughty or nice? What a great time to look in our hearts, look in our lives, and see, am I ready for his return? Are you prepared for it? People say, I'm just not ready for Christmas. Too late, it's here. Sneaks up fast, doesn't it? The older we get, I'm like, I can't believe this. Christmas is right here, you know? Are we prepared for Christ's return? Are we prepared if this is the day that I'm ready to go home? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with all the shopping and all the Christmas parties and the places we have to do and go and the families that we have to see, sometimes, Lord, Christmas becomes maybe to some a drudgery. But Lord, I pray this morning for each Christian that is here this morning that it is not for us. That when we remember, oh, I'm getting that bah humbug spirit, that Christ isn't pleased with that because he wants us to be in a heart of expectation. He wants us to be excited. He wants us to be prepared, not just for this Christmas, December 25th, but Lord, be prepared for when you're coming back and how it all interlinks together. We've been told, we were told that there would be a child born, and it happened. We were told that you are coming again, and we know it's going to unfold. But Lord, help us to look into our hearts and into our lives and say, am I prepared? Am I ready? And Lord, help my attitude be such that others say, why are you so happy at Christmas time? Why are you so jubilant? Why is there so much joy in your life and love at this time? Because that's what you call us to do. Lord, I pray your word speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.